The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Kisovei. The beginning of the Parsha, we have the Parsha of Bikurim. Bohoyo Kisovei ala Oris, Asher Hashem ala Kecha, Haisin lachona achalov, Yerishtov yishavta bo. It will be that when you come to the land, which Hashem, your God, will give you for an inheritance, and you shall take it over, conquer it, you should dwell in it. V'lakachta mereishis kol pri ha'adoma, asher tovi me'artzecho, asher Hashem elekecho neisein loch. And you should take from the first of your fruits, which you will bring from your land, which Hashem has given to you. V'samta v'atene, you bring them, put them in a basket, v'alachta l'makom, you bring it to the place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought his name, has made his name dwell. This is the Beis HaMikdash. And you come to the Kohen, and then the Torah tells us exactly what we should do with it. You give it to the Kohen. And when you do give it to the Kohen, it states a little further, "Vanisa v'amalta lifnei Hashem elokecha," and you shall answer and say. And there's a long declaration that one is obligated to make. Aram Yevir Ovi, that it was Laban that tried to destroy our father Yaakov, by Yered Mitzrayim, and he went down to Mitzrayim, and there we were a small people, and there we became a great and mighty nation. And the Egyptians afflicted us, and they placed all types of hard labor upon us, and we cried to Hashem, the God of our fathers, and he saw our affliction, and he listened to our voice, and by Yetzienu, and he took us out of Egypt with a strong hand and outstretched arm. Actually, much of this which is said here is taken from here and written in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And now he has brought us to this place, to the land. He's given us this wonderful land of Erez Zovas Cholav Udvosh, a land of flowing milk and honey. And now I bring to you, I place before Hashem, Reishis Pri Adama, the first fruits of the earth, which he has given to me. And he places it before Hashem. He bows, and then he goes, and he should be sameach, he should rejoice in all of the goodness which Hashem has given to him and to his household, you, the Levi, the Ger, which is within your midst. This is the mitzvah of Bikurim. Now, the essence of the mitzvah is firstly to be magdish, to sanctify the reishis, the first of the fruits. Why dafke, the first of the fruits? This we have spoken about in other times. We will not be able to go into it this evening. And secondly, to give hodah, to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all he has done for us. Now, when it comes to giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have what is known as Shvach and Tachnunim and Hedah. Shvach is praise. Praise is what you give to someone who is great. It's not necessarily thanks. For example, a mighty king you give praise to, even though there might not be a purpose to thank him, he hasn't done anything for you. Then there is Tachnunim. Tachnunim is appeal, where you appeal to the person to give you something. And then there is Hodah. Hodah is where you thank him. You give thanks, you show your gratitude and your appreciation. And this is also the Seder HaTfilah. In the Shemay Neser, we start with what is known as Gevurais, that Shvach, where we praise the greatness and the strength of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the middle of the Shemay Neser is known as Tachnunim, where we appeal to Him. We come and we ask from Him our needs. And then the last part of the Shemay Neser is known as Heidoh, in which we give Him thanks for all that He has given to us. That's the Modim Anachnu Loch, and so forth. So here we're speaking about the Heidoh. We were a small nation, we were endangered, we were enslaved, we were afflicted. And from very, very little beginnings, now we have this mighty land and this beautiful land, a land of flowing milk and honey, and it's ours, and we plant in it, and we have our first fruits. So now is the time to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incidentally, the Mishnah brings that not all of the first fruits you bring, only the first fruits, which are the seven which Eretz Yisrael is specifically praised for. And these are the grains, the chitin and seorin, the wheat and the barley. And this is the good degoncho, and then the sireischo v'yitzorecho, the shemen, and the yain v'shemen, the wine, and the olive oil. And then the fruits, the pomegranates, rimonim, the te'enim and the tamarim, and the dates, the figs and the dates. The Maral brings out here that it's not just stam fruits, this is not just all one bundle of fruits, but these are three levels which we have to recognize the Almighty. Because the grains, this is what is known as hechrech, that we must have. This is the staff of life. This is the staple. From the grains we get our breads and cereals and so forth. So we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us our basic needs. But then further, He wants to give us a good meal. And in order to give the fullness of the meal, the perfection of the meal, one person must have also, the Gemara says, Yain v'shemen, sireischo v'yitzorecho, wine and oil. Because this adds a totality to the meal, otherwise the meal is lacking. So we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. But then in addition to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us sweet fruits, the pomegranates, the dates and the figs. The dates and the figs in particular, the Gemara brings, this is where in those days they would get their sugar from. And these were used as sweets. This generally was served either as a sweet before the meal, or the sweets that you eat at the end of the meal. So of what purpose does this come? This comes letanug, the simcha. Kodesh Baruch Hu, not only did He give us what we need, and not only did He give it in totality, but He gives us even something more in order that we can have enjoyment also from it. These are the seven fruits, and on this is what we bring the first fruits, and on this we must thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A chesed b'shleimus in totality. From here actually we can learn how to do chesed. That if you're helping someone, and we give him his need, but that's not enough. You must see that he has more than he needs. Everything in totality. So nothing is lacking. But even then further, you should give him even more, even those things that come just for simcha and enjoyment. Now, this is what is known, the Gemara brings Mevi v'kore, the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim, the Koreh, and to read from the Parsha this declaration, this Heidah, this thanks and gratitude. If we do not say this, if we do not declare this, then Rashi brings from the Sifri that we are kekofui tova. We are like people who take something and do not show appreciation for it, but gratitude. So that's what the importance is of this Koreh, of this mitzvah. This quality to show appreciation and gratitude, Hakoras HaTov and Hachzokas HaTov. Many times we can show appreciation merely by saying thank you. We're telling the other person how much we appreciate what he is doing. But many times we can do more. We can put our words into action and actually show our appreciation in some manner of actual action by giving the person something. Now this is something which everyone understands the purpose for. And we would say this is a simple quality. This is a basic derech eretz, to say thank you. And we wouldn't think that this is any lofty level. However, the Torah places an enormous importance on this midah. And I mentioned in the past that the past Gaon, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Zichrein Levroch, Chai Berlin Rosh Yeshiva, writes that in his association with the Gedalim, with great Talmidei Chachomim, he would see that when there was an individual who lacked this quality, by the Gedalim, by the Talmidei Chachomim, they not only looked at disdain to a person like this, but they almost wanted nothing to do with a person like this. A person who lacks the quality to show gratitude or appreciation to someone who has done something good for him. And certainly, this goes without saying, someone who would do something bad to someone that has done something good for him. And this is not what the Rav Kuttner was speaking about, but this the Gemara refers to as even worse. This is what is known as Meshalim Ra Tachas Tova. Now, the Torah was so concerned with this that we see that it was the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that a person should not even harm an object which was inanimate, which would not be able to see or hear, if he had something good at one time or another from that object. And this we see in Parshas Va'era, in Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paroi, and Paroi wouldn't listen to him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to execute the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues. So, and the first plague, this is in Perek Zayin, Posuk Yutes, states as follows in the Torah. Vayim Hashem al Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor al Aaron, speak to Aaron, Kach matcho onete yotcho amemi Mitzrayim, al na'areisam, al ye'ereihem, al agmeihem, al kol mikveh mimeihem v'yadom. Speak to Aaron and let him take your staff, stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, and turn all of the waters into blood. So the question is raised here, why did he say that Aaron should do this? And Rashi brings, Lefi shehegin ha'yor al Moshe kishenishlach lesechei, that since at one time the river protected Moshe when he was still an infant, and he was in the basket, and they concealed Moshe in the river, and it saved his life. Lefichach lo loka al yodoy. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that the river should be smitten through Moshe. And therefore, he told Aaron. Now, over here, we're dealing with a river. It's inanimate. Cannot see, it cannot hear, it has no feelings. Why? What kind of appreciation do you have to show? What kind of gratitude? Still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu held it was Eina Min Adin. It was not just, it was not right. That someone that the river had saved his life, that person should smite him. And even though it was certainly justified that the river should be smitten, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the plagues to Egypt. And the river was to be smitten first because that was their god. Egypt had no rain. All of the water would come from the Nile River. It would overflow into a whole complex of canals which they had made. And therefore they served it. It was their god. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu always extracts punishment from their god first. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decreed the river should be smitten. But not by Moshe. In the second plague, we find the same thing. This was Fardea. Again, the river was supposed to be smitten to bring forth all these types of reptiles, these frogs. The same reason. And then, we find it even in the third plague. In the third plague, that's in Perechez Posuk Yud Beis, it states, Vayim Hashem al Moshe, Emor al Aaron, speak to Aaron, again Aaron, Leteis Matcha Vahaches Afar Oretz, and smite the offer, the earth itself, the dust. Bohoyel Kinim, Bohol Eretz Mitzrayim. And from here will come Kinim, lice. And again Rashi brings from the Medrash. Lohoyo offer Kedai Lilke Salide Moshe. It was not proper that the dust of the earth should be smitten by Moshe, Lefisha Hegin Olov Kishorag Es Hamitzri, because the dust also helped to save Moshe's life. When Moshe killed the Egyptian who was afflicting the Hebrew, so he had to conceal him, he buried him in the sand, so it saved him. Kishorag Es Hamitzri V'yak Mineu B'chol. Therefore V'loch Al Yidei Aaron, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let Aaron smite the offer. The Gur Ayi on these psukim brings a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara in Baba Kama states, "Biro de shosis minei al tishte bekalo." That if you have a well of water which served you well, always gave you water, but now you don't need the water anymore, nevertheless, don't destroy it. And the Gur Ayi brings to that Gemara this source, because something that served you well, do not harm it. And here by Egypt, Kodesh Baruch Hu has decreed it should be harmed, so let it be harmed by someone else. We find further, if it's by an inanimate object we have to show our appreciation and gratitude, then we cannot harm it. So certainly by something which is animate, certainly when it comes to animals. See, generally, you have an animal that served you very well. But people say, look, it's just an animal, it's a behemoth. He doesn't know anything. So what do you have to show appreciation to it for? Show gratitude? The Rebbe, past Mir Rosh Hashiva, the Gaon Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, he writes about this sugya, this topic, in a number of places. And to this point, he brings a medrash. In Parshas Vayeshev, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Posuk Yud Daled, the brothers of Yosef, they went to take care of the sheep. And Yaakov, their father, one hadn't heard from them and he wanted to know how they were. So he sent his son Yosef. go to them where they are, and find out how they are, and come and tell me. So the pasuk states, "Vayemel lei lech narei eshleim achecho, veashleim hatzon, vahashiveni dovor." He said, "Please go and see if everything is in peace with your brethren, and if everything is in peace with the sheep, and come back and let me know." So the Medrash Rabbah there, Perek Dalet, Oshud Gimel, Eshleim Achecho Nicho, Elamai Veshleim Atzon. We can understand why he asked him to find out how everything is with the brethren. But what is he asking about the sheep for? Hado Amrit, She'odem Tzorech Lishol, Bishleim Dover, She'esh Be'hanom Imenu. From here we see, the Medrash says, that a person also has to seek the welfare of anything which he has benefited from. So just like he had to find out if the brethren were well, he has to also ask, find out if everything is right with the sheep, because the sheep is something which would bring in panosa to Yaakov. This was his livelihood. He would get wool from the sheep, and he would get milk from the goats. From here we see that a person has to seek the peace also of kol dover sheyesh b'hanom imenu, any object, even an animal, that has brought good to you. You have to seek its peace. You have to show your gratitude. The Reb Chaim Shmulevitz makes the following observation. He says that Yaakov equated both together, the Shleim Hatzon and the Shleim of the Shif Tekor, the peace of the sheep, and also the peace of the Shvatim, of the tribes. Then he brings another very, very good source for this. This is in Parshas Matos, in Bamidbor Lamed Aleph. There, this was after the whole episode of Bilam, where Bilam gave Eitzah that the daughters of Midian should go into Klal Yisrael and entice the sons of Yisrael and entice them to immorality and then to Aveirah Zorah, idolatry. And because of this, there was a whole Magefa, a whole plague, and many, many tens of thousands of Yisrael were lost. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said as follows, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'es ha-midyomim, achar te'osef el amecho. This was the end of the 40 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's time now, Moshe, for you to leave this world. But there's one bit of unfinished business first. I want you to take revenge against the Midyanim for what they had done to Yisrael. So he told this to Moshe. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. So we see Moshe comes to the nation and he says, arm yourself. He asks for 1,000 men, elf lamata, from every shevet, from every tribe. He gathers together a whole army. Vayishlach Esam Moshe elef lamata latzova osam ves Pinchos ben Elozar hakohen latzova. And he sends them out against Midyan under the leadership of Pinchos ben Elozar. The Medrash asks here in the Yalkut Shimoni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu amal Moshe v'ushalach achirim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you take revenge. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, you revenge Midyan. Moshe goes and he appoints Pinchas to do it. Why? El alidation is gadol b'midyan. Omar eina b'din shani meitzar lemi she'osa li tova. Moshe made a cheshbon, a calculation. Midyan, how wicked they were. At one time, they did a great tova, a great goodness to Moshe. Because when Moshe became a refuge, became a refugee from Pare, a fugitive. He had to flee for his life because he had killed the Egyptian. Where did he go? He fled to Midian, and there to the house of Yisro, and there he found refuge. So the land of Midian had become a land of refuge for Moshe, and he was there for many years. He says, so therefore, it's not right, even though they were deserving of all of the revenge that we could dish out to them for what they had done. He says, it's not right that I do it. Therefore, he told Pinchas to do it. And why Davke Pinchas that? The Medrash goes into. Rashi brings out specific reasons. But the main concern was that it had to be done by the Acherim, another had to do it, not he. And this Rav Shmuel Levitz asks a good question. He says, this was a good cheshbon. But meanwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him this. He says, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. Evidently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't concerned with this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't concerned, so why was Moshe concerned? So he says as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, go and revenge Midian, Moshe came to the conclusion that the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not through him. He should see that it's done. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot mean that he should do it. Because we see by the Makkos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to go and execute the 10 Makkos, the 10 plagues against Pare, he wouldn't even allow Moshe to execute the plague against the river or against the sands. So Kolshkein, how much more so against human beings, because they had done a goodness to him. And we see this is not within the scope of the justice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore he read into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words when he said, Moshe, go take revenge, that meant al yedei acher, through another person. We see the same principle in last week's parsha. In last week's parsha, in Kisetze, the Torah tells us, it states, Leisisaev Mitzri. This is in Chof Gimel Posuches. And Mitzri, an Egyptian, comes and he wants to do tshuva. He wants to be a good person and he wants to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem. And he's even Megayer, becomes a full gear. But because he's from a nation which tried to destroy us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he cannot marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael for 3 generations. Bonim Hashi Yivold Alehem Dor Shlishi Yov Alehem Bekal Hashem, for 3 generations. And then Torah explains that really I shouldn't allow them forever to marry into the community of Klal Yisrael. Forever. Because they were our arch enemy. But Rashi brings, we owe them something. We owe them because of the principle of gratitude and appreciation. We have to pay back a debt. Because when Yaakov Avinu didn't have a place to go, there was famine in Canaan, he came down to Egypt and Pare opened the doors for him. And not only did he open the doors for him, he said, you can settle in Goshen, which was the Tuv Eretz Mitzrayim, the best of Egypt. And there Yaakov lived with his children and Yosef for many years in luxury. And for many years they treated him like kings. So even though later on they turned against us, we cannot forget that Shehoyu Lehem Aksanya Bishasadchak, when you needed them, they came to you and they did good to you. So therefore, If you have now a Mitzri that wants to be a good person, and Adrab is coming to be a Jew, we cannot reject him totally. So for three generations he cannot marry into the community, central community, but after that you must accept him. So we see how this principle applies. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we should distance them forever because they tried to destroy us. They threw our children into the river and they afflicted us for 400 years. Nevertheless, after three generations let them in, because Hoyu Aksanya Bishasat Chak, when we needed them, they opened the doors to us. On the contrary, we see when it came to Moab and Ammon, and Moab and Ammon are actually even related to Klal Yisrael because they came from the daughters of Lot, who was Avram's nephew. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo yovo lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. They should be rejected from Klal Yisrael forever. Al devar shelekibu eskem belechem ubemayim. Because it was just the opposite by them. When Klal Yisrael came to them in the and wanted to come through their borders, when they were coming to Eretz Yisrael, they refused to let Klal Yisrael through, and they refused to give them even bread and water, and they said, we'll come out with the sword. And they were Meshalim Barot HaChastova. By them it was just to the contrary, because their whole existence is only because of Avraham Avinu. Because Lot, who they were born from, was to be destroyed with the rest of Sodom and Amorah, except he was saved by Shchus of Avraham. So here you see that Mitzrayim, that tried to destroy us, but because of a goodness they did to us, we have to always remember that, and we have to pay them back. And Ammon and Moab, that didn't try to, they didn't afflict us. They didn't enslave us. They just refused to let us through the borders, and they refused to give us any help. But there they should have, because they owed us a debt. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, reject them forever. So you see how demanding the Torah is when it comes to this principle. We see further. We have another source. Also, we have a number of them. We don't have time to go through all of them this evening, but we have another source which I've brought in the past. And this also is from, I believe this is also from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. And this is something which is a Dovah Nora, which is something which is very, very outstanding. In Parshas Shemos, Perek Dalet Posuk Yud Ches, Moshe, as we said, fled to Midian. And there he took refuge in the house of Yisro. And he was there for many years. Yisro took him in. Yisro was very good to him. He took him in. He took care of him. He could have turned him over to the authorities. He didn't. He married him. He gave Moshe his daughter. So Yisro was very, very good to him. Then, when we have the story of the burning bush, this is when Moshe was watching the sheep of Yisro. And Hashem told Moshe, it's time now for you to go back to Mitzrayim. The danger is over. The people that were trying to take your lives, they have died. And now I have something very important for you to do. You got to go back, and you got to bring out my nation from Egypt. With the Asis and the Maisim, with all of the wonders and all of the miracles and everything that's going on, and you got to take them to Har Sinai. Actually, the burning bush took place at Har Sinai. He says, you have to bring them to this mountain, and here I will give them the Torah, and I will make them my nation, and I will bring them to the land which I have promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So it states in Pasuk Yud Ches, after all of this, Vayelech Moshe vayoshev al Yeseh Chosno. Moshe went and returned to the house of Yeseh, to the house of Yisro, his father-in-law. And he said that I must go. Please, I want to go to my brethren in Egypt and see if they're still alive. And Israel said to Moshe, Lech l'sholom, go in peace. Now what is the Torah telling us this for? Why do we need this? I mean, we understand that he had to go back home because Hashem spoke to him when he was with the sheep in the wilderness. So if he had to take the sheep back home, he had to go home, he had to get all of his belongings that he was going to take to Egypt. His wife was there, his children was there. So what does it say that he went back to the house of Yisro and he told Yisro that he's going to Egypt, and Yisro said, go in peace. And this is understood. So the Midrash says as follows. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, V'atol lecho v'ashaleichacho el pare, and now go and I will send you to pare. Omale Moshe said, Ribeino Olam, he said, Master of the universe, Eini yochel, I cannot go. Mipnei kiblani Yisrael, because Yisrael has taken me into his house. Uposach li beisai, and he opened his house to me. V'ani imai kiben, and I am like a son to him. And whoever who opens his home to his chaver, he's indebted to him with his life. Now this is very strange. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to go and he says, I can't go. Not only that, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him to go for? He was telling him to go for the most important shlichus, the most important task in history. There wasn't a more important one. To go and to stand up to Parai and to bring all of the Aces of Mephsim and to destroy Parai and bring out Klal Yisrael, bring them to Har Sinai to give them the Torah and then bring them into Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to go and Moshe says, I can't. And why? He says, I cannot walk out on Yisrael. Yisrael took me in when I needed him. He opened his house to me when I needed him. And he treats me like a son. I can't leave him. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, go back to Yisro and ask permission. Moshe says, "Any heilech ele b'shusai, I can only go with his permission." Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Yes, go back to him and ask his permission." That's why the Torah writes here, "Vayelech Moshe, vayoshev el yesech hosno." Now we can understand what the Torah is telling us, that Moshe had to go back to Yisrael, not just to pack his bags. He had to go back to Yisrael. I would like to go and return to my brethren in Egypt to see if they're still alive and so forth. And Yisrael said to Moshe, go in peace. But had he not said that, Moshe would not have gone. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with him. Because someone who opens his house to you and takes you in when you need a home, chayv lebenafshe, you are indebted to him. And you must pay that debt. Now from this we see dvorim naroim. We see what loyalty was, what dedication was, what commitment was. We see how thick it flowed. And you see what kind of world we live in today. I'm not referring necessarily to the Geisha world, but even our own Jewish world. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending Moshe on the most important task,
the most important mission in all of history. And Moshe says, how can I go? I owe him a debt. Can't just walk out on him. And this was similar by Avraham. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, leave your father and leave your house and go to the land, and there I will make you into a great nation. This was at the end of Parshas Noach, right before Lech Lecha. Make you into a great and mighty nation. Avraham said, I can't. He says, how can I leave an old man alone? I owe him something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go through a whole business in order to allow Moshe to go. Avraham to go. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you take revenge from them. And Moshe learned in this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't mean I should take revenge. He meant I should appoint someone else to take the revenge. Because even when it came to striking the waters, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want me to strike the waters. Mishalim ra'a tachas tova. Not to show gratitude and yet alone give a person bad for something that he has done good for me. Now actually, we find that right at the beginning of time, this was a difficult task, which it would seem the simple quality was a difficult task to fulfill. In Parshas Noach, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Hei, after the Mabul, the flood, the people were all of one language, and they all got together, and they decided to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they were going to build a tower going into the heavens and make war against him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to see the great city and the tower that they were building. Who? The Bnei Odom. The children of men were building. And Rashi brings a Gemara from Avodah Zarah Daf Hei. What does it mean, Bnei Odom? The children of men, Ela Bnei Mish, Shema Bnei Hamorim Ugmalim. What did the Torah have to say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls them Bnei Odom, the children of men. Who would I think they are? Are they the sons of donkeys and camels? This is what he meant. Bnei Odom Arishon, Shekofa Esatova. Omar Isha Asher Nosati Imodi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that these people are ingrates. They're ungrateful people. Here I have just saved them from the flood. These were the children of Noach, the descendants. I've destroyed an entire world, and I saved one family from millions of people. And these are the people of that family, and now they want to rebel against me. Can there be a greater ingrate or Mishalim Ra'a Tachas Tova than that? But he says they've learned this from their ancestor. They learned it from Adam HaRishon, the first man, because he also was an ingrate. Why? In Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam HaRishon and he said, have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And man said, Isha Asher Nosati Imodi, the woman which you have given to me, he nosna li mino eitz, she gave me from the tree va'ochel, and I ate. Now, the Gemara brings that he had two intentions, Adam, in what he said. The first intention was to pass the buck. He was saying, it's not my fault. It's the woman's fault. She gave me to eat. All right. But then he should have said, Ho'isha nosna li mino eitz ve'eicha. He should have said, the woman gave me to eat. So he was trying to pass the buck. Good. But he said more. He said, Ho'isha asher nosata imodi. He says, the woman that you gave me, she gave me to eat. What did he add in those words for? His second intention was, he blamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, it's not my fault. It's your fault. Because this woman that you gave me, look what she's done. She enticed me to eat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ingrate. I give you a gift, a jewel, a wife, and now, instead of thanking me, you blame me. You say it's my fault for giving you this woman, because look what she has done. So this is what he said on the people after the Mabul, after the flood. He says he came down to see what were they doing, B'nai Adam, the sons of Adam. Just like their ancestor was an ingrate, these also were ingrates. Here I saved them from the flood, and now they want to make war against me. Your ancestor here, I gave him such a jewel, a wife, and then he turns around and he says, it's my fault for giving him the wife. Kofi teva, ben kofi teva. So we see that this is an old problem. Now, perhaps the reason why it is so difficult, and we see that it's always a problem, is because man was given, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he created him as a melech, as a king. This is why man stands upright and all other creations are on all four. And a king is someone who doesn't have to take from others, doesn't have to receive. A king is supposed to be a giver, not a recipient. Because when you're a recipient from someone, then you become reliant and dependent on him. And the king is supposed to be the great person who's totally independent. Others are reliant and dependent on him. That's why it's brought, actually, that where does this malchus come from, this kingship, this royalty that man has? This is the Tzelem Elokim, the image, from the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it states that Kivan Sho Adam Nitzrach Lebrius Nishtan Eponov. We find that whenever a person has to ask someone else for something, we see his face changes a bit color. That's a sign that he's losing the light of the Tzelem Elokim. Because the light of the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes him into a mighty king. And here he has to go and ask from someone. Say, Yiddish Tafar Einkumen zu Ander. So, to declare that you are a recipient, that's actually, from one aspect, against the nature of man. And a proof of this is because to give thanks in Haidah, how do you do it? We don't do it anymore, but this was the custom. The custom was you bowed. It states by Abraham that when the B'nai Ches agreed to sell him a place to bury Sarah, it says he took a full bow to the earth. This was how one would show thanks. And we do this in Modi Manachnu Loch. But this is a sign of Abdus. See, this is the sign of I am your servant. In other words, I need you and you have helped me. Therefore, I had to come unto you. And this is why it's difficult for a person, because it's against that nature of Malchus. But from the other aspect,
It's actually a greatness in a person. Because when a person takes, this is actually, like we said, this is against the Selam Elohim, the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's in him. We mentioned in the Shia this past Shabbos, when a person gives, if he gives stokah, if he gives chesed, he's actually making, changing the order of creation, because all of creation was created to receive, and he's becoming a giver. And in creation, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the giver. All other creation receives. And therefore, when a person gives chesed or tzedakah, he's becoming a shooter for partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the great level that one comes to. Now, the creation was, is that, no, we all have to come unto, we're all interdependent. Nobody is independent. We're all interdependent, where we have to come on to others all of the time to live. But if we only take and we do not give in return, then it's a great yerida. Then we fall. But if one takes and gives in return, then he becomes a giver. And this is the Akoras HaTov and Achzokas HaTov. That whenever one takes, he recognizes what he takes. And in return, he gives. In other words, he pays his debt. He pays his debt even by recognizing and thanking for what he took. Or he does something in actuality to pay his debt. Then what he is doing, he's rising from the low level of being a recipient to the great level of being a giver. So it's difficult for him to make peace with the fact that he has to take. That's why it says, "Anitzrach al brias nishtan aponov." He has to come on to borrow money or ask for money, grows pale. That's against the great level HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. But if he does take, and he doesn't recognize it, and he doesn't pay back, through gratitude, through loyalty, through thanks, then he sinks to the low level of a recipient. And in such cases, this is against the Tzelem Elohim. But if he shows his appreciation and gratitude, and he does something about it, then he turns that receiving into giving, then he can give, and then he rises to the level of being a giver like HaKadosh Baruch Hu of a Tzelem Elohim. Actually, this could be the reason we find that this was the second fault in Adam HaRishon. His first fault was he ate from the tree. The second fault was he became an ingrate. It could be because when he ate from the tree, there it states, he lost his level of the Tzelem Elohim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, because of that, drove him out of Gan Eden. And once he lost his level of the Tzelem Elohim, see, he lost that power of giving. And to give appreciation and gratitude, that's the giver. So he became the ingrate. The lowest level that a person can sink to, and this is even from one aspect lower than stealing, and that's the Mishal Merah Tachas Tova, where someone does something good for you and you repay him with something bad. You see a ganav, right, this is a great aver, he's taking something that's not his, but he doesn't necessarily owe you thanks or appreciation. But if you do a favor to someone, and on that he pays you back with a raw, that's the lowest level. This is why it's brought in the Mishnah Ovis. Mishnah Ovis in Perek Beis,
where it states Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had five Talmidim. These were his five greatest Talmidim, and each one had a special quality. And he asked each one to go and state which is the worst quality that a person can have and that he should stay away from. So one of these Talmidim was Rav Shimon ben Nisanim. So Rav Shimon said that the worst quality in the world that a person could have, and therefore he should be Yisrachik Mimenu, stay away from, he says, Halevi ve'ena mishalem, someone who borrows and doesn't pay. Shenema levi roshe ve'le yishalem, tzadik chaynin v'naysen. He says this is just the opposite pole, because the tzaddik is chaynin v'naysen. The tzaddik who is someone who gives something to someone, even though he doesn't owe him anything, the person doesn't deserve it. He gives. That's chesed. The levi ve'ena mishalem is someone who took from someone, and he owes him gratitude and appreciation and loyalty for it. And not only does he steal his money, but he's being mashalim ra tachas tova. He's paying him evil in place of good. You see, this is the opposite end of the pole. And this was here by these, in many of these cases. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, so far does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want a person to distance himself from it, where he wouldn't even allow Moshe to smite the waters, because it would be mishalim ro tachas tova. It would be paying evil back for goodness. So that's the major principle of the mitzvah of bikurim. It's firstly to sanctify the first fruits, maybe. Secondly, vikore, and to give them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a declaration that I recognize what you have done for me, and now I must pay back. And this is how I pay back. Now this is a lesson, a principle which goes through entire life, because the creation was made where we are constantly taking from others, all of the time. And we owe so much. As children, we take from parents. As a husband, we take from a wife. As a wife, we take from a husband. As chaverim, as friends, we take from one another. As talmidim, we take from a rebbe. And we are constantly taking and we are constantly owing. So if a person constantly takes, but he never recognizes it and he never pays back, then he sinks to the level of where he's constantly a recipient. And that's the contrary to the Tzelem Elokim. But if he constantly is showing appreciation and he wants to pay back, like Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, how can I leave Yisrael after all he did for me? He needs me, I can't leave him. Then he becomes a giver. Then he rises to the Tzelem Elokim. Tzadik chaynin v'naysin. And how much more so when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is giving to us every minute of the day, that we constantly have to give hodah to him. So we should be zeichet to learn from these principles. This is a very, very simple principle in rationale, but it's a very, very deep and difficult principle to put into practice as we see. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.